Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 38 through 44. And I'd like you to read with me verses 38 and 39 to begin. Our Lord says, "I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." When I looked at this passage, those last four words are what caught my attention and gripped me. At the last day. What does Christ mean by the last day? What's he talking about? Is there a last day? And is it something that I need to be concerned about, this last day? Our Lord mentions it three times in our text, four times in the passage. Look at the last four words in verse 39 again, at the last day. Now look at the end of verse 40, at the last day. Verse 44, at the last day. And then verse 54, at the last day. What is this last day? What happens on the last day? And is this something I need to be concerned about? Well, our Lord said it four times. So it is something that we ought to be concerned about. If he said it, we should take heed to his words. So I want to speak to you today about the last day. Why men should be concerned about the last day. And then we'll close with the provision that our Lord makes for his people regarding this last day. So I've titled this message, The Last Day. The Last Day. And so we'll begin in our first point looking at whether there is a last day and what is it? What happens on this last day? And then we'll take up that question, should I be concerned about this last day? And then we'll look at the provision that our Lord makes for his people in that last day. So in answer to the question, is there a last day? Yes. Yes, there is a last day. That's what our Lord said. He speaks of the last day in our text. And so there definitely is a last day. And the scriptures also testify. The word of God, which is all speaking and pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, it also testifies of the last day. Now, to be clear, the scriptures also speak of the last days, plural. And that began, the last days began when our Lord came to this earth in the flesh to redeem his people, to purchase his people, to deliver them from their sins. And the prophets, Isaiah and Micah, both spoke of the last days. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 2, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." And so we've been in these last days ever since our Lord came to this earth. And in those last days, the gospel of our Savior, the good news of what God has accomplished for his people in Christ, has been preached and declared and proclaimed to the people, first at Jerusalem, then out to Judea and Samaria, and then all the other nations heard this glorious gospel. And we, the people of the nations, have heard the voice of our Savior, and we flow unto him up the mountain contrary to nature, believing his salvation, believing him, the person of Jesus Christ. And so the longer we go in these last days, the nearer our salvation is, the closer that last day is approaching. More and more. Paul said, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And so we're in these last days right now. But the scriptures, just like our Lord, testify of the last day, singular. And Jude, he speaks of the last day, saying it's the judgment of the great day. And that's when the fallen angels will be judged by their Lord. And then of man, Paul says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. After this, the judgment. And all of creation, we're told, shall also be judged by Christ on that last day. The Apostle Peter, writing in 2 Peter 3:7, said, "The heavens and the earth, which are now, by the Lord's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And that word perdition means eternal death. The ungodly, they'll receive their just reward, which is eternal death. So is there a last day? Yes, there is a last day. What is that last day? It's the day of judgment. The day of judgment. Turn over to Matthew 25. I just want to look at three verses. We won't look at that whole word that our Lord gives us when he's speaking of the last day. But Matthew 25, verse 31. Where we'll begin, and we're going to read down to verse 33 together. Verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," that's how he's coming the second time, not in lowliness, not in weakness as he came the first time to accomplish our redemption, but in his glory, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." Our Lord here describes two kinds of people, those he calls sheep, who he'll put on his right, and those he calls goats, who shall be on his left. Now, the Titanic gives us a good illustration about our understanding of people, of men. There's two kinds. We're told that when the Titanic pulled out of port on that day, April something in 1912, there were quite a mix of people, a variety of classes. There were some important people on that ship. There were people involved with the building of that ship. There was wealthy industrialists. There were dignitaries on that ship. And celebrities even got on that maiden voyage of the ship. There was people in that upper echelon, that first class group of people. And then beneath them were another variety of people as well, different classes, some very poor, all considered there in that low class. But there was all this variety of different people in recognition by men, esteemed in different ways and how we thought about them and how they were classified among the people. But after that ship sunk, back in the ports that it had visited and picked up people, what it posted was just the names of those who were survivors, those who were alive, and then the rest who were dead, who perished, the souls that perished. Just two kinds of people. All the classifications were wiped away. They were either alive or dead. And that's what our Lord is saying here, that there's two kinds of people. Doesn't matter what we are in this flesh, in this life. Are we alive in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we dead in our trespasses and sins? So this brings us to our second point then. There is a last day, but should I be concerned about the last day? The scriptures testify that there is a last day, and that last day is the judgment day when we must all appear, Paul says, before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're told in Acts that Paul, he reasoned, he spoke of and reasoned of the judgment when he was standing before that governor, Felix. Felix hears what Paul is saying, and he trembles, it says. It says Felix trembled when Paul spoke of judgment and temperance. He spoke of those things, and Felix said he sent him away, and he said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. I'll call for you and hear you again on these things. But that convenient season never came again for Felix. It was 2 whole years that he could have heard Paul, and he never did. And then after 2 years, Felix got another opportunity and was appointed somewhere else, and another man came and took his place. Should Felix be concerned about that last day? Should Felix be concerned? You know, removing oneself from hearing the gospel because they're troubled and bothered about these things, about the coming judgment, that's not going to remove the fact that we all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to behold the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King, the Lord Almighty, risen from the grave, seated upon that throne. In that day, we'll see him. So removing ourselves from hearing the gospel because it makes us uncomfortable, that is not going to remove us from that judgment day. Paul said in Romans 2, verse 16, in that day, in the judgment day, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, he says, according to my gospel. So don't remove yourselves from hearing the gospel. This is the word. These are the words of life your Savior has given to his people, declaring to them their righteousness, their salvation, their deliverance in that day. This is declared to the people in the gospel. Jesus Christ is the only hope for sinners. God sent his Son for that very purpose, that he, by his perfect righteousness, the spotless Lamb of God, gave himself, offered himself to the Father for his people to make satisfaction to the holy justice of God for them, to put away their sins, to deliver them from the punishment of their sins, because he bore it in their place. He took that punishment for his people. And not only that, having taken their punishment, his righteousness being imputed to them, he gives them eternal life and inheritance with the Lord God Almighty. Our Lord said back in John 6, verse 40, he says, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day for their good. Christ, people, are raised from the dead on that last day. Their bodies will be raised from the dead for their good, for their eternal enjoyment, their joy, their happiness. It'll be a glorious, wonderful day for the people of Christ, for his people, for his sheep. So should I be concerned about the last day? Should I be concerned about the last day? Well, I would ask you, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he the salvation that God has provided for his people? Is he the hope of the sinner? Is he the only hope of the sinner? Do you believe him? Is he your salvation? Is he your Savior? Are you a sinner? Do you need salvation? Has God, the Holy Spirit, shown you what a sinner you are, that you cannot work any righteousness? And is Christ that righteousness you need to stand before God? The Scriptures declare all in Adam are dead in trespasses and sins, and not one of us can deliver ourselves from the bondage of that death. The only reason why Christ wasn't dead in trespasses and sins is because he is the second Adam, God created. He's not born of that corrupt seed of Adam. He was born of that virgin birth, which the Holy Spirit gave to Mary, made her with child by his glory and power. It says in Acts 4:12 of Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we are saved, if we are accepted of the Father, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only through his sacrifice for his people. Now, I know that many today don't even argue that they're sinners. Many, many people, especially young people, wear their sin like a badge of honor. It's their glory. They boast in it. They talk about sin. It means very little to people in our day. But do you agree with the Scriptures that Christ is the only salvation for his people? Many are willing to say they're sinners, but how few need the Lord Jesus Christ, need his righteousness, need his blood? Christ was speaking to a large group of men, declaring what the will of God is who sent Christ. Look at verse 40 one more time. John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that occurs by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, revealing Christ in us, showing us that he is our salvation, our righteousness that we need, and believeth on him by faith, also revealed in the child of God by the Spirit of God. That one may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And you know what those men did? They murmured. They murmured at Christ. That means they became angry with him for declaring these truths. They became angry and they spoke against him. They didn't like what he said. They heard him speak. They saw the miracles. They saw him feed 5,000 men plus women and children. They saw him heal many that were sick and infirmed, because on that day they brought their sick to Christ to be healed of him, and he healed them. He healed those people. But they that were there stumbled over what he was saying. They stumbled over his speech, and they stumbled over his person. They thought, how can this man be saying the things that he's saying? Look at verse 41 and 42. Here, notice, they're judging him as the flesh judges a man. They're judging him according to the flesh. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They didn't believe that he was who he said he was. They didn't see the Son of God standing there before them. They saw him as a son of a mother and a father who they knew, and wondered, how can he say he came down from heaven? Where did Christ say these things? He says, verse 38, he said, I came down from heaven. And look at verse 35. He declares, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they didn't believe him. So that we read down in verse 66, look at John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Our Lord was declaring that he himself is the very life of his disciples. He's speaking words of life. He's speaking words of truth. He's speaking spiritual words, which in his people hear by the Spirit, hear those spiritual words and rejoice in his salvation. Believe him and rejoice because they have eternal life. He's declaring that there is no life. There's no eternal life outside of Christ. There is no salvation apart from him. His disciples, we who believe on him, continually feed upon him. We need him. We can't go away because he alone has the very words of eternal life. He's our provision. He's our strength. He's our comfort. He's our healing, our forgiveness, our peace, our joy. Christ is all our salvation. We rejoice in his word. We rejoice in his salvation because it's life. He is our very life. So we continue to hear it, whereby he teaches us and turns our eyes away from self, away from judging our Lord in the flesh and judging his gospel by this wicked, corrupt, evil, dead flesh, and behold him in the Spirit as the one whom the Father sent for my very life, my very salvation. That's of the Lord. That's a mercy for you that see him and believe him. And he says, you have everlasting life, and I will raise you up at the last day for your good, for your salvation. You shall behold me with your eyes and rejoice. It'll be a blessed day for you. You'll hear those blessed words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest, which I prepared for you from before the foundation of the world, in the Son, Jesus Christ. So when our Lord said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, he's declaring that you and me who believe him will never want for anything else for our salvation. It's all been provided by him. It's all in him, all accomplished. God is satisfied. Satisfied. So we don't need to look anywhere else. When we stand before our Savior on that judgment day before the throne of God, we stand faultless in him. Faultless in him. What a blessing. What a blessing. These Jews, they heard him and they went away from Christ. Should they be concerned about the last day? They thought there was some other way that they could, well, I don't like the way he says it or what he says there, and they thought they could go and find another righteousness. Let's just go back to Moses and look at the law, and we'll work our righteousness that way. Nonsense. That's not righteousness. We fail. We can't keep the perfect righteousness of God's law. We're sinners, and our mouths are shut by that law. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ only. They should be very concerned about that last day because they turned from the only hope of righteousness that the Father sent and said, this is my will. Look to him. All who look to him shall be delivered. You have nothing to fear. So we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves looking to the law. We cannot be turned from Christ and expect to be accepted and received by God in that last day, that judgment day when we stand before Him. God will not receive any outside of the blood of Christ. We must come in Christ alone. And so our Savior, He gives eternal life. He's the one that we're going to stand before in that judgment day. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So what's going to happen to them that turned away from Christ? The only hope of salvation? Peter asked, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of Christ? That obey not the gospel of God. Should they be concerned about that last day? Many aren't. Many don't seem to care. Many don't seem to be worried about it at all. But there is a people. There is a people for whom Christ came to save. For whom Christ laid down His life and made perfect provision for them according to the will of God and delivered them from their bondage. Our God is never going to be frustrated by the will of man. He's not waiting on man to figure it out and to find a need to come to Him. He reveals that need in His people. He seeks them out and finds them and brings them to Himself to behold the salvation of God and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. Our Lord said in John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. And He prepared that place on the cross. It's already prepared. It's accomplished. And He's bringing you, His children, home to be with Him and to enjoy our eternal life with our Savior. So all that for whom He died, they shall hear, they shall believe, they shall come to Him. And this brings us to our final point, which is Christ's provision for the last day. There's a people hearing this message right now, who are listening to this message, and you haven't a concern or worry about that last day. You're not fearful of that judgment day, because Christ has put away your sins. Right? You're not fearful. You're looking forward to it, not because your conscience is seared as with a hot iron, but because Christ has established His peace in your hearts with your God. He's delivered you from that fear and guilt and shame and bondage. His blood covers your sin. And we now rest in Christ our righteousness. These are those which God hath given to Christ. And He says, none of them shall be lost. We look forward to that day. And the longer we go, the older we get, the more wearied we are with this flesh, the more we look forward to that rest and that peace with our God with longing hearts. Paul said in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, not all, but many from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When He appears again, He shall raise up His people from that grave in a new flesh, a new body, made like unto His body. For John says, we shall see Him as He is. Now, there were many there that did not believe. John 6:43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You that have some other way, it's because you don't hear. You don't hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But there is a people whom God makes to hear Christ because the Father draws them. He draws them. You that are His, you shall hear His voice. You shall be given life in the Son. Verse 44, no man, Christ said, can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So in summary, Yes, there is a last day, and it is the judgment day of all things created. They'll be judged, and those believing Christ need not fear nor worry, for Christ is your peace. He is your righteousness. He is your salvation and acceptance with God. And the Lord says that he dwells in them that believe him. And those that are his, they continually feed upon their Savior. In his gospel word, rejoicing, believing him, and trusting him. And he says, you shall never perish. You will never know eternal death, for you have eternal life. Life everlasting, and Christ will lose nothing. Because that's the will of the Father. These have eternal life, and Christ shall raise them up again at the last day. Amen.